There's a new neighbor in town. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union is open and ready to serve members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lutheran Federal Credit Union provides checking and savings accounts, home, car, and personal loans, on-demand mobile banking, 30,000 ATMs, and 5,000 in the co-op shared network. You'll find the modernized banking experience you need with excellent customer service and security you expect at LutheranFCU.org. LutheranFCU.org.
So I've taken the position, which is quite common among Catholics. I got a personal feeling about abortion, but the right rule for government is to let women make their own decisions.
Well, I'm going to ask him the same question that Lincoln put to Stephen Douglas, who essentially argued the same thing on slavery. Douglas said he was personally opposed to slavery, but thought each state should have the right to vote it up or down. So here's the question. Mr. Kane, why are you personally opposed?
Selective outrage. I know that I need to be mad because something wrong has happened. And that's true. But the last thing I'm going to do is have ownership of the problem as if I'm part of it.
New dads like fixing the issues of slavery.
You hear it a lot from your big box churches. We're a Bible-believing church. They'll say we're a Christ-centered and Bible-believing church. That's code, right? That's code that if you walk in there, expect to hear the Bible, the content of the Bible, at the very least, in some shape, matter, or form, being taught and preached. And I think that used to be true. It wasn't always taught well. It wasn't always taught correctly. It wasn't always rightly divided, as the apostle says. But the Bible was there, and the Bible was at least referenced. And the guy up there, bless his heart, he was trying his hardest to sort out what that particular verse or set of verses he was preaching on actually said. Nowadays, preachers, they preach visions they heard from their imaginations, or they think they heard them from God. Is the Bible still necessary in those churches? Welcome back to Issues Etc., live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about what Pastor Chris Roseborough calls closed Bible preaching on this Friday afternoon. A little bit later, it'll be time to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have four soundbites to play for you. One from Oz Guinness, Christians Are Not Victims of Culture. One from Scott Klusendorf, his take on Tim Kaine's argument on abortion, I'm personally opposed, but. One from Pastor Hans Feeney, How Christians Prepare for Martyrdom. And one from our Pastor Chris Roseborough on the biblical place of signs and wonders. Those four sound bites we'll play for you, and then you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity to talk about closed Bible preaching, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Closed Bible preaching, it's a trend you have noticed in American evangelicalism. Tell us about it.
Yeah, no, it's not only a trend, it is a growing trend. And these are churches that if you were to look at their websites, I mean, they would say that they are a Bible-believing church. They would even identify as being conservative in their approach to the Bible. You know, they don't understand what confessional means, but they would say that they're conservative. They believe the Bible to be true, the inspired, inerrant Word of God. But more and more, the Bible is remaining, and I'm not making this up, closed, literally sitting closed like a prop on their pulpit or the music stand or the podium, whatever it is that they're using there at their churches.
The coffee table, usually now.
Yeah, right. The coffee table or even the bar stool. It's weird what they do nowadays. But it's sitting there closed, and it makes me think that so much of evangelicalism has become kind of like Bible optional. I mean, and when we pull it out, we believe it. At least that's what they say. But literally, pastors can go almost all, if not all, of their sermon now without really referencing a biblical text. I mean, it makes it a lot easier, by the way, if you're a Bible twister, because I think Bible twisting actually takes a lot of work and creativity. I mean, you know, the guy sits there and goes, well, the Bible says this, but how am I going to make it appear to say this? Nowadays, literally, evangelicals have pastors and prophets and apostles who are literally spinning out of their own heads Christian doctrines. I mean, it's coming out of thin air. It's not even remotely grounded in the scriptures. And what's fascinating is that, you know, in these large big box churches, no one's calling them out on it. It just seems like it, well, they trust this person's a, you know, a pastor or a prophet or a man or woman of God, and so what they say has to be true. It doesn't matter if it's coming from the Bible or not anymore.
Now, someone might walk into the church where I serve and where I occasionally preach, and they're going to look on the pulpit, and I got nothing on the pulpit. I preach from my head. Now, I do have a text. The text is there. It's been read already in its entirety along with other Bible readings. But this isn't just about a closed Bible, is it?
No, this is about literally now the creating of doctrines, saying that this is from God. It's because some, you know, I feel something in my heart, I thought something in my head or whatever. And I understand what you're saying, that, you know, but you actually are not a closed Bible preacher. The Bible's not a prop in your church. Instead, because you're following the lectionary, you know, there are three readings every single Sunday, and you usually get to pick from one of the three texts, and oftentimes you'll preach on the gospel. But the reality is that in the confessional Lutheran service that follows the liturgy and the lectionary, it is literally just saturated with scripture, and what you're preaching on is the actual, one of the assigned texts for the day, and teasing out what it means and what it is that God has revealed there for it. That although the Bible is not standing open on the pulpit in that sense, you're still preaching with an open Bible because you're actually preaching the text. It's driving what it is that you're saying and what it is that we're believing and what it is that we're confessing.
I've noticed that, you know, even in varied Christian traditions, the sermon used to begin with, the text for today is, or the basis of our meditation for today is, something along those lines, and they would reference the Bible passage at hand. What I've noticed, Chris, is that's been replaced with, today I want to talk to you about blank.
Mm-hmm. Or worse, they'll say something to the effect of, today I want to talk to you about what God laid on my heart. Or they'll say, I started this, you know, writing my sermon this week, and then God interrupted me on Saturday evening, and this is what he's laid on my heart, and so I'm going to be preaching to you what it is that God told me to be preaching to you today. Something along those lines. It sounds very pious, but then what comes out of their mouth is not a text, you know, and the basis for what it is they're preaching. It comes some musing, some thought, some idea, something that they felt that then rises to the level of doctrine. And this is where it gets very scary, because we as Lutherans understand that historically there is no dogma, there is no theology apart from what is revealed in the written Word of God. And this is why sola scriptura is so important. But although evangelicals have some concept or maybe a vague memory of sola scriptura or have heard it, in practice they've left it long ago, and they have literally replaced sola scriptura with whatever whim or thought or feeling their pastor or pastrix or prophetess is being led to, you know, to speak on that day. And as a result of it, there are literally doctrines being taught from conservative stages and pulpits that you cannot, you can't even begin to find the origin of this doctrine in Scripture, and it doesn't really matter to them at all.
You brought some examples. What's first?
Our first example is a woman who is really rising in the charismatic circles on the Elijah list. She is a self-proclaimed prophetess from Australia, and her name is Catherine Ruinala. And no joke, if you looked at the sermon and watched it, the Bible sits closed while she's teaching doctrine.
I've got such good news for you. The plans that God has for you are to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Hooray! That's a prophetic word, so you can just have it. And God's looking for us to come into agreement with him. I remember hearing someone say once when they turned 40 that the Lord challenged them to write down 100 dreams, 100 things that they'd like to happen. And after they got through about the first 10, they had to start getting really creative. Like, oh, I don't know, I'd like to swim with dolphins, you know. And so this guy just wrote them all down. And he was so stunned that over the next few months, one after another, random things, with circumstances had come up where those very things he'd written down came to pass. He'd go to visit somewhere and they'd say, hey, by the way, we just had an idea that maybe you might like to swim with dolphins. And you might think, well, this is ridiculous. I'm telling you, it works. I've been declaring for many, before I ever wrote my first book, I was declaring, my book is a bestseller. You think, well, that's very arrogant. No, hear me out. I had no desire to write a book that wasn't going to touch the whole world, because there's a lot of effort in writing a book, and Christ in me actually does want to touch the whole world, so that's totally fair desire. So I did, before I ever had a publisher, and guess what? It became a bestseller. Hallelujah. So I make no apologies for it. Those who know me and have known me for many years, they know very well that this works, because the things that I was declaring several years ago are now happening now. Hallelujah.
Okay. Can you break that down for us? Then we'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay. So notice this doctrine that she was teaching is based upon some unnamed person who she claims God, you know, challenged to write down 100 different things that he would like to see happen in his life. And he started running out of ideas, and on a whim, he puts down swim with the dolphins, and then miraculously finds that as he's walking out the next few weeks and months, that the things that are on his list, including the swimming with the dolphins, are all being fulfilled because, he decreed and declared these things. And then Runala sits there and says, God wants you to do this, and I know that it works because I've done it and it worked in my life. Therefore, this must be true, and this must be what I'm supposed to be teaching from the pulpit on a Sunday morning. And the reality is that the Bible nowhere teaches any of this theology. If it did, we'd be able to go to a biblical text that says God wants to give you the dreams of your heart, and all you have to do is decree and declare these things and do so in faith, and then you will create these positive effects in your life. But there's no biblical text that says that. And yet she is saying quite authoritatively, including with testimony and personal, anecdotal evidence that this is true, that this is what God wants the people at her church to be doing, because after all, it works in her life. And the problem is, and like I said, if you go back and you look at the video on this, the Bible sits closed on the podium while she's spinning out this doctrine and theology. This is nowhere found in the Bible.
So really, she's playing it safe, because if she were to have the Bible open, she might accidentally have it open to something that blatantly contradicts her new revelation.
Right, and that what you point out there has got to be one of the things that makes you wonder if the reason why the Bible is becoming a book that is less and less opened in churches that self-identify as conservative, if the reasoning behind that is because the Bible so explicitly contradicts so many of the popular doctrines that are circulating through evangelicalism today. And if you read the Bible, it could cause you to think, well, that somebody's teaching false doctrine. And in the politically correct age that we live in, that might cause you to say something that might hurt somebody's feelings or at least the way they think, cause division and disunity in the church. So we can't have that happen. So it's probably safer if they don't actually open up the Bible, because then you don't have to, well, explain those thorny contradictions as to why the Bible is not saying, in fact, saying the opposite of what it is that we've been taught.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about closed Bible preaching. It's Friday, July the 29th. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, a couple more examples of closed Bible preaching. The sad thing is, I imagine a lot of people hearing this preaching think they're hearing from the Bible. We'll talk about that after this. Temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned Christian perspective with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Those who portray themselves as victims soon come to perceive themselves as victims and eventually paralyze themselves as victims.
The only reason to be opposed to abortion at all is because it intentionally kills an innocent human being. If morally it's no different than pulling a tooth, I don't care how many abortions a person has.
When a pastor just faithfully proclaims the gospel to his people, gives them the forgiveness of sins, he's preparing them for that moment. In an instance like that, you can just simply say, don't be afraid. These men have come here to take our lives. But they're too late. Our lives already belong to Christ.
They are not rightly handling God's word. And these signs and wonders that they are pointing to are actually leading people away from the proper understanding of what Christ has done.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You'll hear those soundbites in their entirety. Then you'll have an opportunity to vote. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about closed Bible preaching with Pastor Chris Roseborough. You have another example for us. What is this going to be?
This is Finney DeGersigne. He's a prophet from Australia as well. And what's fascinating is he's going to say something that makes absolutely no logical sense. But I'll let him say it first. And keep in mind, his Bible sits closed while he's saying this theology and doctrine.
And then we got a couple of people that didn't get healed. Because we pray for hundreds every week. and they didn't get it all get healed. I want to add that because often when we have a culture like you do, like we do, of people getting prayed for, we're doing things, we have healing rooms twice a week, we have three services on Sunday, that's five services every week that we have, and we pray for dozens every service. Well, we have a lot of people that feel instant change, partial improvement. They feel encouraged. You know, we have a culture where we want to make everyone who feels who's prayed for feel loved. That good? Our culture is that we want to make them feel loved. Even if they haven't got an immediate improvement, we want to know that they had an encounter with Jesus where they felt loved. That's why we have a big team of people who pray for others, because we want to give them time. We want to give them that. We don't always pray for an hour. I don't know if we've ever prayed for someone for an hour, but they were persistent. But the culture is we want to have them encouraged. But I want to say that to you, because if you get the impression that everyone you pray for gets healed all the time, that would not be true. I give you the highlights. I give you the high points. I give you the words of knowledge that went right. We called up this person and they were there and they came out. Well, we also miss it all the time. And we applaud just as loudly when someone says, I had this word, I gave it. No one was, that person wasn't there. The person doesn't exist probably. I don't know. But I gave it, you know, and then we all clap. Wow, you had a go. Well, because we want to encourage everyone to have a go. You see.
Okay, I'm going to try and see if I heard him, Chris.
Okay.
Apparently these words of knowledge are coming from the Holy Spirit, right?
Correct.
All right, so he's saying, look, sometimes it's going to happen that, you know, someone's going to get a word of knowledge about a healing that is supposed to take place, and that person mentioned doesn't even really exist. Doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit's on the ball in that church. He's mentioning people who don't exist getting healing.
Right. And that's the absurd thing. He's spinning this theology out of his head based upon experience. So we've had people give words of knowledge from the Holy Spirit for healings for people that don't even exist. But that's okay. The important thing is that they had a go at it. You know, they're now stepping in and experiencing what it's like to receive words of knowledge from the Holy Spirit, which doesn't make a lick of sense. Why would God the Holy Spirit inspire you to call out a healing for somebody who doesn't exist? And yet, nobody in that mega church walked out. Nobody said, this is absurd. The Bible literally, while he was saying this, sat closed on his acrylic see-through podium, and people there were sitting there going, oh, this is great, amen, this is wonderful. But what he said was nonsense.
So this, it's not just false teaching. It verges into, like, one of our frequent guests, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, likes to quote one of his mentors, who says that wasn't right and it wasn't even wrong.
It wasn't even lucid. And you got to keep this in mind. Jesus in the Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations. Disciples are learners. And Jesus tells us the curriculum that it is that we're to be teaching disciples of Jesus. And he says, it's all that I have commanded you. And since Jesus is God in human flesh, that's going to include everything in the written scriptures from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, because all scripture is God-breathed. And yet we have people now in large, ginormous churches who are not hearing anything related to what Jesus said or taught or what the scriptures say, stuff that doesn't make any lucid sense whatsoever, and their response when hearing this stuff is, amen, hallelujah, keep preaching it, way to go. And you're thinking, what has happened to evangelicalism? This doesn't make any sense at all.
Another example.
All right. Last example comes from a man who is considered to be a living apostle. According to the New Apostolic Reformation, God has restored the office of apostle. Chuck Pierce is one of the living apostles on the earth. And I don't even know what to say, but again, the common theme here is that while he's saying this doctrine, his Bible sits unopened, literally inches in front of him.
Now, with that, you want to be the best in this kingdom advancement that you can be. Now, to do that, you're going to have to understand time. I got a text while we were worshiping, and someone said, can you teach me in days ahead how to maneuver when there is no breakthrough? And I said, breakthrough comes from revelation and time meeting and by you going up. Then we sang that song. If you are unwilling to go up, you'll never break through. And so because that's who the breaker is. In Micah 2:13, he's the one who takes us up. It's a name of our Mashiach, our Messiah, who takes us up. Now, in this season of time, what makes this such an interesting season that we're living in is this is a season where captivity is breaking. Well, now you look around and you say, but I see so much warfare, so much destruction, so much lawlessness. It's because captivity's breaking. People, you can't stay the same in a season, and this is a season where God is watching us at your crossroad. What makes this year so interesting is this is where you already go through the crossroad and stake your claim on the future. Therefore, this word ayin, which is linked with the 10-year season that takes us through 2019 in Hebrew, is a season of angels. It's a season of sending, but it's a season of breaking off, oh, captivity, so you make your turn right.
You know what I feel like listening to that, Chris?
No.
You're a former businessman. You sit in those meetings where it's just one, what do they call it? Kind of like... I don't even have a word for it, where it's just one string of buzzwords, jargon after another, put together to kind of make it sound like it's supposed to make sense and supposed to mean something, but I couldn't tell you what he was saying.
I can't tell you either. I couldn't diagram these sentences. When I was being taught at Concordia Irvine, Dr. Rosenblatt would have like a phrase that he would use to kind of talks like this, where he would talk about how philosophers, you know, like Tillich and others, you know, they don't make any sense at all. He says they're using nouns. There's verbs. Actually, the sentences are totally constructed solidly if you were to examine it just on the noun, verb, subject, action, you know, subordinate clauses. They're all there, but none of it makes sense. It's like the sentence, blue sleeps faster than Tuesday. Totally solid sentence, couldn't tell you what it means at all. And yet, here's the thing. You watch the video on this, there are people literally, while he's talking like this, going, ooh, oh, wow, that's profound, that's deep. And it's just gobbledygook. It's the story of the emperor's new clothes. You know, he's running around naked, and everyone's saying, oh, how beautiful his clothes are, but he's not wearing a thing. And this is what has happened in evangelicalism. They have exchanged the eternal, inerrant Word of God in Scripture, and they have received in exchange just absolute gobbledygook, like a promise of magic beans, you know, and none of it makes any sense. And they think that this is the gold coming from heaven. This is the really, really deep, profound stuff, while the Bible literally sits unopened on the podium in front of the guys spewing this stuff.
Amidst all the seasons of angels and season of breaking, what was it, captivities or something, he did reference Micah 2:13. He just tossed in an Old Testament verse there. He didn't tell us what it said.
No.
He just said, it's like in Micah 2:13.
Right. That's it. I mean, just reference it. Don't actually teach it. Just, you know, and then spew off all this other nonsense. And so, you know, what's needed is for evangelicals to wake up. They need to wake up. What they have abandoned the Word of God. The doctrines they're believing are bizarre and man-made at best. And what's funny is that the evangelical would rightly be able to say, we don't pray to saints or pray to the Virgin Mary, because that's a man-made doctrine. While they can recognize that and have a righteous aversion to things like that, they are attending churches where the doctrines that they're being taught are every bit as spurious
as the doctrines that teach us to pray to the saints and pray to the Virgin Mary and things like that. And that's the irony of it.
One thing I've discovered, Chris, is that when you come across sloppy thinking, sloppy theology, any of those kind of things, or this kind of sloppy perception where people, they will tell you when they walk out of church after hearing something like that, oh, he was preaching straight from the Bible. I love that preacher preaches straight from the Bible, when the Bible never got opened. If you ask them to be specific, like, what book was he preaching from? What chapter? What verse? They might discover, talk about waking them up, they might discover that they weren't hearing anything of the Bible at all.
That's if they're being honest. In reality, you point that out. You ask a tough question like that, they're going to turn on you for the most part. They're going to say, you know what, you're just a hater. You clearly have a religious spirit, Todd Wilkin, and you're just not in tune with what the Spirit is doing today. I mean, how dare you point something out like that that would literally cast aspersions on the man of God? We know we heard God's word today, and I don't need to prove it to you. This is how they talk. And the reason I say that is because these are the phone calls and these are the emails I get from people by pointing this stuff out on a daily basis.
Does anybody ever say, you know, I went back and I looked and I realized after watching my pastor's video again that he never opened his Bible and that he never even referenced a single verse of the Bible, and I had walked away sure that he had. Sure seemed like he had. Does anybody ever come back and say that?
Yes, I do get those occasionally, and I always love the emails that I receive that begin with the words, I used to think that you were the most arrogant and hateful person on the planet. And then I decided to open up my Bible and prove you wrong. And then I discovered you were actually telling me the truth. And that's the risk that we need to take, all of us as Christians, because keep in mind, there are people literally who are heading to hell while going to church every Sunday, singing songs to Jesus and knowing nothing about what it is the Scriptures actually say. And so out of love for our neighbors, we must reach out to them, and we must risk being called haters and divisive or being religious and point out the fact that they're not being taught what God's Word says. They're not being discipled. They're being deceived. And that's an actual loving thing to do, but doing that often risks you, well, suffering for doing so. But that's worth suffering for, so that through Scriptures, God can open their eyes and set them free from these people who are not teaching God's Word. They're teaching absolute gibberish and nonsense.
Chris, what kind of false teaching are you going to be dissecting tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
We're going to be taking a hard look at what is and isn't Christian prayer. There's a lot of false teaching nowadays regarding prayer in evangelicalism. And so on today's episode, we're going to dedicate it specifically to the topic of what the Scriptures do teach prayer is, and then highlight that with what it isn't in light of popular teaching.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Chris mentioned being a student at Concordia University, Irvine, California. They offer advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. You can find out about their Master of Arts in Theology program at Concordia University, Irvine, at cui.edu/theology. cui.edu/theology. When we come back, it's time to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Our soundbites are ready to go. Oz Guinness, Scott Klusendorf, Pastor Hans Feeney, and Pastor Chris Roseborough will be bringing the soundbites, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you need to bring the votes, 1-877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, July the 29th. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your confessional Lutheran nonprofit or church need a new website? Let WordSites help you for free. WordSites is a volunteer-led group of technology and marketing gurus who have come together to help their fellow Lutherans. With the support of an effective website, you can clearly proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in. To submit your organization for consideration or to learn more, visit wordsites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.